Anyways, I don't know how the hell we got on talking about the MBTA of Boston, of all things, but I apologize to anyone who doesn't live in the greater Boston area and that has no idea what we're talking about. So, naturally, let's shift over to the NBA real quick, because we didn't get a chance to talk about this. I want to ask you about Luka's triple-double the other day, because he followed it up last night with another triple-double. 21, 7, and 7 in the first half. First half, okay. That casually just, whatever. Okay, good for you, Luka. But let's go back to the other one, 60, 20, and 20. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, 60, 21, and 10.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant. I'm sorry. I'm talking so fast. I'm looking at the Sports Center up here on the screen. 60, 21, and 10. Just put it in perspective, John, because that's just impossible, at least now.
Pretty much. I mean, any one of those is a great night, right? You score 60, that's an all-time great night. You get 21 rebounds. As a 6'7" point guard, that's extraordinary. 10 assists is pretty much his average. I've said it a million times, I think he's the most skilled player in the league. Is he the best player in the league? I still think Giannis is the best player in the league. I think you could throw Jason Tatum and a few other guys into that discussion. Luka's not great defensively, although he's among the top five in steals. He's getting better defensively. But on the offensive end, there's nothing he can't do. He's an exquisite passer. He's an improving shooter. He's got a million different ways to score. And he's also a top-flight rebounder, especially at the point guard position. I mean, he's a guy who's going to average close to a triple-double this year while leading the league in scoring. Mm-hmm. But to do that, it's never been done before. 60-20-10 has never been done in the league before. Again, the stats weren't as kept as at the level they are now back. I mean, Chamberlain had games where it was like 73-38, but who knew how many? He may have had 22 blocks in a game. They didn't become official stat. Blocks didn't become an official stat until 1973-74, so who knows if Russell and Chamberlain weren't putting up triple-doubles on a nightly basis based on block. Yeah. But no, what Luka did the other night was extraordinary. And again, it wasn't in a blowout. He needed to do what he did to win in overtime, you know, because he doesn't have a lot around him. It reminds me so much of LeBron in his first, you know, 5-6 years in Cleveland, where it was LeBron and a bunch of other guys, and he would get them to the conference finals and would win 60 games in the regular season, but he couldn't really advance any further because he'd run into teams that were just better. That's kind of what Luka is right now. I mean, Christian Wood's his second best player. I don't think there's a bigger gap in the NBA between the first top player in a team and the second best player on that particular team as there is with Luka and Christian Wood. You know, so I mean, like, Jason Tatum's extraordinary, but Jaylen Brown's also an all-star. Giannis is extraordinary, but Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday are both all-stars. I mean, it's Luka and some other guys. What he did the other night was just incredible.
Yeah, and look, I was watching the highlights. I obviously didn't see the game live, but I'm just sitting here thinking, like, hey, it just seems like you just have to have a hectic pace the entire game from start to finish to accumulate mm-hmm. that much. And to your point, I mean, it was necessary. This wasn't, and I don't know if that makes it even more impressive, because it was necessary, and he did do it. You know, this MVP race, I think, is one of the more fascinating ones we've seen in the NBA for, you know, the last handful of years, because I think there's a lot of players involved in this, and obviously Luka is one of them, and you have really a good case for several, and I feel like it, you know, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like at this point in the season, usually you've started to see a few players kind of separate and you know, separate from the pack. But I feel like you have like 3-4 guys right now mm-hmm. that you could legitimately make a case for MVP. And I don't think any of their cases have kind of cooled at all at this point. And we're about to turn to 2023.
No, Joel Embiid is tied with Luka leading the league in scoring. He's unstoppable. Nikola Jokic is playing at the same level, if not higher, than he has the last 2 years when he won back-to-back MVPs. We've already talked about Tatum and Giannis and Luka. Those are five guys right there. Mm-hmm. The Brooklyn Nets are playing at a very high level, and Kevin Durant so darn efficient, it's incredible. If Steph Curry hadn't been hurt and his team had played a little better, he would have been in the mix. The thing is, Ian, there's so many more possessions now in basketball. As you said, it's played at a faster pace, mm-hmm. and with all the three-point shooting, there's just more opportunities to score, rebound, get assists. The pace is incredible, so you're going to see more scoring than you've seen in 25, 30 years. Right now, there's 7 guys in the league averaging 30 or more points. That's extraordinary. There's also 19 guys averaging 25 or more points per game. That's unheard of.
I just right before we got on the air, and I didn't take note of what the game was, but I saw someone hit a 3 5 seconds into the game. Literally off the tip off,
right.
Took the ball, turned and shot like it was like, you know, you had 1.5 seconds on the clock and you're trying to inbound and get a shot off.
Right.
So like to your point, the quickness of the score, it's great. But I mean, it creates all these players that again, are just dominating in their own way and doing it at such a high level.
Yeah, I mean, the league was like that years ago. I think this is what people don't understand. The league in the 60s played at an incredible pace. Mm-hmm. I always bring up Elgin Baylor because I think he's the most overlooked great player in the history of the NBA. He averaged 27 points and 14 rebounds per game. Mm-hmm. Averaged that, right? And Jerry West was a guy who averaged 27 points per game. But the possessions were so bountiful that you just saw more scoring. It was up and down, up and down. The Celtics kind of invented the fast break. That's how they played. Then things slowed down a little bit, you know, especially in the 90s, which I thought was the ugliest decade ever in the history of basketball. The early 2000s also was like that. But I say since about 2012, 2013, and you got to give a lot of credit to Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. They kind of brought the sport to where it is now, and they're successful at it. So teams try to copy that. They're playing at such a fast pace that we're going to see a lot of these numbers that look incredible. I mean, 60, 21, and 10, that's just like, that doesn't happen.
The Pacers beat the Cavaliers last night 135 to 126.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's not something that would shock you from a score at this point. You're just, oh, yeah, okay. That makes sense. A lot of mm-hmm. scoring. Got it. I mean, I think a couple games into Steph Curry's absence, Golden State lost something like that, where they still put up 100 over 110 points without Steph Curry, and it's, you know, that's how the NBA functions now. So